Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Amen. Well, let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Come on, let's lift up the name of the Lord today. Hallelujah. God is so good, isn't he? If you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of Mark? Mark chapter 12. And here's a little bit of humor, hopefully, just to put a smile on your face. So there was this teacher, and the teacher asked the students, she said, I want you to write a sentence using these three words. Here's the words, defense, defeat, and detail. And so the student wrote a sentence back, and obviously this student was from the South. And the student wrote back, and here's the sentence. When a horse jumps over defense, defeat goes before detail. That is so corny, it's funny. Well, how many blessed people are in God's house today? Are you blessed? Come on, how many people are glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Man, it's good to see all of you. Thank all of you, all of our guests. Thank you, all of you that are here to be a part of Casey getting baptized after service this morning. Thank you. And all of you that are a part of seeing we're not going to baptize Lincoln this morning because he's a baby, but we're going to dedicate him to the Lord. So if you're here this morning, thank you for that. And all of you that are joining us online, God bless you. Amen. The Lord bless you. You can be seated. Now, most likely, all of you in this room, let me see your hand if you're honest and you've ever had your feelings hurt. Let me see your hand. All right. How many of you also are honest and you probably think maybe unintentionally you've probably hurt somebody else's feelings? So all of us have had our feelings hurt either intentionally or unintentionally. We've hurt others. Others have hurt us. But have you stopped long enough to think about how that your feelings can hurt you? We don't think about that. Our feelings, our emotions can actually hurt us. Last week, we talked about the prophet Elijah. And if you'll remember in 1 Kings chapter 19, we visited that passage. And in that passage in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah is one of the most well-known prophets in Scripture. He was a powerful man of God. And won't get into it, but just from last week, if you'll recall, he went on Mount Carmel and God used him in a great way to see a great victory over the false prophets, and fire fell down from heaven. And it was an amazing experience that he had. After he had this amazing experience, the Bible finds and tells us that Elijah is in a cave. And the Spirit of the Lord comes to him and asks him, Elijah, why are you in this cave? And Elijah says, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one who hasn't bowed a knee to Baal. And so I'm in here, and this is why I'm here. But he knew better than that, because Obadiah had previously told him, who was a man of God, Elijah, there's 100 prophets that have not bowed their knee to Baal. So Elijah knew that he was not the only one left, right? So if you keep reading in 1 Kings chapter 19, you find where this great display of God's power comes, okay? God displays his power through just his power upon the rocks. And the Bible says that the rocks bust in pieces on the mountains. Then after that, there's a great earthquake. And then after that, there's a fire. And after that, there's the still small voice. So the Lord came to Elijah in these multiple ways to show his great power. And yet after that, the voice comes back to Elijah again and says, Elijah, why are you in this cave? Second time. And Elijah says, because I'm the only one left that has not bowed a knee to Baal. But the facts are, that's not true. The facts were, there were 100 prophets who had not bowed their knee to Baal. But as you keep looking in Acts 18 and 1 Kings 18 and 19, if you keep looking in there, what you're going to find is as soon as he said that the second time to the Lord basically looked at him and said, now what I want you to do is I want you to go to anoint your successor, which is going to be Elisha, because basically your ministry is over. And history, as I looked at history, history says we don't hear from Elijah for 2 years until he's caught up in a fiery chariot and taken to heaven. Now, here's what I want to tell you about that. God shows us both the good and the bad of his people. The Bible doesn't just gloss over all the bad. In other words, it tells us how that David messed up and committed adultery. It tells us how Moses messed up and murdered a man. So it also is showing us how that Elijah, this great prophet who could see fire come down from heaven, how he too was a man just like you and I, and how he went toward his feelings more than he did the facts. And because of that, I can't prove it, but I don't think you can disprove it, it short-circuited his ministry. And God says, you're done. Anoint your successor. Here's what I'm saying out of all of that. If you're not careful, your feelings can hurt you. And the enemy, the devil, will use your feelings to make you think things are true that are not true. How does that work? It works like this. The devil will tell you God don't love you. He'll even tell you those people don't love you. They don't care about you. All they care about is your money. And if you don't give your money, they don't care about you. Well, the fact of the matter is that's not true. That's a lie. God does love you. And we love you for more than your money. We love you because of who you are, and you're a soul, and every soul represents eternity. Talking to you. So what I want to talk about this morning for the next 30 minutes is something that you don't hear a lot in Pentecostal services, and you don't hear much about it being preached, but I think it's very important. And if I didn't, I wouldn't bring it to you. I want to talk about how, through the Word of God, we can manage our feelings or our emotions. Now I want you to look at Mark chapter 12. We're going to go to the Word of the Lord, verse 29. Jesus says this, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, love the Lord our God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Did you get that? So what is the Lord saying to us right here? God is saying to us, in a sense, that I want you to love me with your heart, with your mind, with your soul, with your strength. I want you to be passionate about me. I don't want you just to have a head knowledge. Yeah, I know Acts 2:38. Yeah, I know Matthew 28 and 19. Yes, I know what Acts 8 and 10 says. I know what Acts 10 and 12 says. I know the Word of God. I know what 1 Peter 2 and 24 says. That's great. But here's what Corinthians tells us. That knowledge can puff you up. Have you ever seen a Christian that was puffed up on theirself? They had a little bit of knowledge of the Word of God, but they were also had a long tongue, and they were very judgmental, and they had an ugly attitude, but they thought they had all this knowledge. I wish I had three people to help me this morning, because they got puffed up because they had a little bit of knowledge. And the Lord says, hey, I want you to do more than just have a knowledge about me. I want you to be passionate about the relationship. I want you to serve me with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Can I keep going? So, let me give you some facts this morning about our emotions. First of all, God is an emotional God. Say that with me. Say, God is an emotional God. You say, can you prove that? I believe that I can. God felt grief in the New Testament when they had unbelief. He said, how long do I have to strive with you? He was grieved over their unbelief. He was grieved that they were wanting a sign for him to try to prove who he was. He grieved over them. And he also says, how many times, Israel, would I have gathered you together as a hen doth her brood, but you wouldn't do it? He was grieved. We go to the tomb of Lazarus and we see where he's sad. The Bible says that he wept, Jesus wept. He was sad over the loss of his friend. You're looking at joy. I have no doubt that when God healed that lame man and he began to leap and praise God, you know that God had to feel a certain amount of joy, right? And then the scripture tells us that God is angry with sin every day. Yes, he is. So the Bible tells us that God is an emotional God. He feels grief. He feels joy. He feels anger. He feels sadness. And the reason why that you have emotions, brothers and sisters, is because you are created in the image of God. If you were not created in the image of God, you would be like a robot who has no emotion. And so God created you so that you could feel creativity, and you could have kindness and generosity and love. That's what makes you different than the animals, is because you are created in the image of God, and God gave you those emotions. So our ability to feel and to have emotions is actually a gift from God. Now, your emotions are not bad, okay? But I want to talk to us for a few minutes about two extremes to avoid. In dealing with emotion, one is called emotionalism, and the other is called stoicism. Emotionalism means that, here's what it means, all that matters is how I feel. All that matters is how I feel. In other words, feelings control my life. They dominate my life. They run my life, and I'm a very emotional person. And then you have stoicism, and that is that feelings are not all that important. The only thing that is important is my will and my intellect. Okay? Now, it's really funny because Stoics marry emotional people. And Stoics are the stuffers, and the emotional people are the gushers. And what do you mean by that? Well, to label it something else, the Stoics are, they're the turtles. And when they get into, you know, a little argument, they just stick their head in the shell and just kind of, you know, they just kind of stuff it. And the emotional people, they're the gushers, and they're kind of like the skunk. They just spray it all over. And y'all are already thinking, I know what my spouse is. Mm-hmm. And here's what's funny is that stuffers marry gushers. And now you can see the conflict, because the stuffer is thinking they're way too emotional and we don't need all of that. And the emotional one is thinking, well, you're so uptight and you're just a Debbie Downer because you don't show any emotion. Mm-hmm. Y'all with me? All right. Neither one of those are healthy. Okay. We also have religions built on strictly emotionalism. And that's not good. There's other religions that I can name you. They're built on stoicism, which is only will and intellect. And that's not good. What we want is a balance of both emotion and intellect. And we want to be healthy in both. We don't need to just come in here and just, you know, scream and holler and shout for an hour and a half. And neither do we just need to come in here and have only word for an hour and a half. It's spirit and truth. We need both. I've been in services where I would appreciate it a little spirit. And I've been in some services where I'd appreciate it a little word. So we need a balance, say a balance, of both. God gave us a mind and he gave us emotions, and we need both of them. Here's the next thing that I want to share with you, is that God gave us the book of Psalm to help us to understand our emotions. Do you realize that not every psalm is about praise and thanksgiving? There are some psalms about lamenting. There are psalms about anger. There are psalms about grief. There are psalms that the writer is actually arguing with God. And I know you've probably been taught like I did, and that was you don't talk back to God. You don't say anything negative to God because he can strike you. I was taught that way. But I want to tell you, I don't subscribe to that belief anymore, because I believe that God is so big that he can handle when you're angry. He can handle when you're grieving. He can handle when you're upset with him. I mean, what do you mean by that? I've had my own kids not appreciate me at times and not like what I told them, and they got upset. You know what? I didn't kick them in the shins and black their eyes and put them in their bedroom in handcuffs. That's ludicrous. I didn't do any of that stupid stuff. God is not going to strike you with lightning just because you don't agree with him or don't like something that he did. He's God, you guys. He understands that he knoweth our frame, and he knows that we're but dust. I don't think you ought to be shaking your fist at God in defiance. I don't think that's wise. But at the same time, I think that you can be honest with God and say, God, I'm struggling. I told the Lord the other night, I was in prayer, and I just told him, God, I am struggling about this. I don't have a clue what to do. I'm struggling. I'm frustrated right here. God didn't zap me. Thank God. He understands. He is touched. The Bible says he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about why the Bible says that it is so important to manage our emotions. Most people, brothers and sisters, are not good at managing their emotions. But if we're willing to learn, it can have enormous advantages in our life. You say, why? Because I believe the key is when we get our emotions managed, it's the key to peace of mind. It's the key to success and a lot of other things that we want in life. Here are some important reasons why that we need to deal with what we feel. Look at your neighbor and tell them that. You need to deal with what you feel. Why? Why do I need to learn to deal with what I feel? Number one is because my feelings are often unreliable. Can I preach? I said, my feelings are often unreliable. Can we go back to Elijah? His feelings were unreliable. He was a great prophet, saw fire come down from heaven, saw over 12 manifestations of miracles. He was a great man of God. But toward the end of his life, he started buying more into how he felt than what the facts were. And God said, all right, I love you. You're going to be saved, but you're done. Because we get to saying, well, I don't feel like God really loves me. And I don't feel like that I am saved. And I don't feel like I am righteous. And I don't feel like God wants to use me. Some of the things you believe about yourself are flat out wrong. It does not matter, brothers and sisters. It's a little quiet in here this morning, but that doesn't mean we're not saved. It's a little quiet, but that doesn't mean we're not righteous. It doesn't mean we don't love God or love his word. It just means we're going based off of how we feel. And what we have to learn as mature Christians is every time we come to the house of God, it's not just about us, it's about others. I may be here a minute. I cannot allow my immaturity of how I feel to stop me from being used by God. Because I may not feel righteous. I may not feel a goosebump. I may not feel a chill. I may not feel a burning in my hand. But it doesn't negate the facts that God wants to heal. He wants to save. He wants to deliver. And he can do it anytime, at any place, with anybody if they believe in the power of God. And when you start believing, I'm not righteous, and I don't feel saved, and I don't feel like I'm good enough, and I don't feel worthy, then you know what you're doing? You're actually aborting the vessel that God would want to use. Because in reality, it's not about you anyway. It's about the power of God working in you and through you so that he can do his will and his kingdom is exalted. Did that make sense? So, you know, I'm coming in here basing my worship off of how I feel. Some of you, some of us, some of all of us have done that. We based our worship on how we felt. The kids were not doing good, you know, things weren't going well at home. So this is how we worship, because that's immaturity. I should not worship based off of how I feel. I should base my worship on his worthiness. His worthiness does not change based on my day. His worthiness does not change based off of my spiritual report card. He is always worthy. He is worthy of your highest praise. Even if you don't feel like it, go ahead and give him praise right now. Come on, give him praise right now. Tell him, God, you've been so good. All my life you've been faithful. All my life, God, you have been so, so good. When I wasn't faithful, you were faithful. Does that make sense? See, some of the things you feel about other people are dead wrong. That's why you have to be careful. And I'm going to call us out, Pentecostals. We have to be very careful because we let our eyes make quick judgments based off of how people look. I had an individual, I can't say that because I didn't ask for permission, so I'm not going to do that. But I have made judgments based off of just looking at somebody. And when I got to know them, I realized, you know what, they're not like that at all. We had to be careful because we can look at something and automatically get a feeling, and then we base that feeling and call it fact. Can I keep preaching? Here's what Proverbs 14 and 12 says this. There is a way that seems right to a person. That's very important. It seems right. I've had people come up to me and say, well, I think I ought to do this. And I'm saying, okay, are you asking me for my input? Yes, yes, sir, I am. Okay, here's what I see. Bam, bam, and bam. Well, yeah. I hear what you're saying, Pastor, but I just really feel like this seems right to me. Okay. Go on. Do what you feel like you need to do. But it's amazing to me how come people, why do you come and ask me my opinion and want my advice? And then when I give it, you do what you were going to do before in any way. I've had people come in and tell me, we're getting married. Well, if you're getting married, you don't need my approval then. Go for it. Have fun. Y'all be safe out there. Right? Can I keep preaching? It seems right, but just because it seems right doesn't mean it is right. You need people, listen to me, you need people around you that can see what you can't see. Because as good as you are and as spiritual as you are and as much as you speak in tongues, great, fantastic. That doesn't mean you don't have blind spots. You may feel like something is right, but you need somebody around you that loves you enough to tell you you're stupid. And yank your chain. And tell you, you're stupid and you don't need to be thinking that, because if you keep thinking that, that's going to lead you down this path and that path is not going to be good. Just because you feel it, I feel it. We've elevated our feeling to a God status. Doesn't matter what you feel. Is it wise? Andy Stanley wrote a book one time. The premise of the whole book is this. Is it the wise thing to do? And if you've got people who love you, truly love you, and they're telling you she's not wise for you, I don't care how hot she is. Let me talk your lingo. I'm going to get in your grill, guys. I don't care how good looking and how buffed he may be. If somebody that loves you tells you walk away, you need to listen. Oh, I'm so in love. All right. No, you're so much in lust. That's what you're in. You're not in love because love gives and lust takes, and all you're wanting is to take from her. See, our emotions are not infallible. Just because you feel it doesn't mean it's true. Here's the next thing that we need to learn to manage our emotions. The second is because I don't want to be manipulated. I'm going to say it again. I don't want to be manipulated. Why? Because our emotions will control us and will manipulate us by our moods. How many's ever been manipulated by your mood? The rest of you are lying. We all have. And if we're always guided by our feelings rather than what is right, other people are going to take advantage of us. In fact, salesmen and advertisers do this all the time. They use color, they use music, and they use emotional language to hook you. Say, I don't believe that. All right, just keep watching your TV and see when they want you to adopt a pet what the commercial looks like. It's this piano music. And then they show you this dog. They don't show you a pretty dog doing good. They show you this old, ugly mutt that's shaking in the cold and in horrible conditions, and this piano music playing, and this sad lady, come on, would you be willing just for $2 a day? Huh. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. What do you think they're doing? They know that they can hook you if they can get your emotions. They're trying to get you emotionally because they want your $2 a day to adopt a pet or sponsor a pet. And if you don't have wisdom here, have any of you ever bought something that you didn't need? Again, the rest of you are lying. We're going to have a major altar service this morning because all of us have bought stuff we didn't need. And when we got it home, we're like, dear God, what did I do that for? But I'm going to tell you what, that salesman, that man said, oh, those shoes look good on your feet. My, you sure are a pretty lady. Those, whoo, I'm telling you, you look very nice in those shoes. And you got to look and you're like, whoo, I do look nice, don't I? Those do look good on my foot. Oh my God, I think I'm worth $250 for this pair of shoes. And then after you get home, you're like, dear God, I must have lost my stupid mind. $250 for this stupid pair of shoes. What did you do? You got all caught up in a guy that told you your foot looked nice in a pair of shoes. You think he believed that? He thought your foot was ugly, but he wanted to sell so he could get the commission. And you bought into that. I am right. You stick your head. Hey, that's why that salesman almost forces your head in the cab of that truck. Because you smell that new smell and you're like, oh, dear God. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. The New Living Translation says this. A person without self-control, say self-control, is as defenseless as a city with broken down walls. What is that saying? Without self-control. Hey, thank you. I'm glad you think my foot looks good in this shoe, but you know what? I'm not going to spend that. I know you're trying to reach my heart, but I already got three pets, and I'm struggling to feed the three pets, so I'm not adopting another one. God bless you. I hope somebody else listens. Hey, I'm not doing that. Does it mean I'm hard-hearted? Does it mean I don't want good for pets? Doesn't mean I care about buying some shoes, but you just may not be able to do all of that right now. Right? Okay. And here's what happens. When we buy into, brothers and sisters, our emotions and our moods, you know what happens? It whips us around. That's exactly what it does. And you get into one of those moods, you know what I'm talking about, and all of a sudden, you don't do what you need to do. And all of a sudden, you're not doing what's right, and you're not doing what's healthy, and you're not doing what's good because you're being manipulated by your moods. Can I preach? I've had people from the Hope House tell me, Pastor, I took that first drink and I knew God convicted me. And I said, well, why didn't you put it down? They said, here's what they say. Because I'd already taken the first drink, I might as well finish the bottle. That's the closest I get to wanting to slap some of these guys. I'm like, how stupid can you be and still breathe? Right? Okay, so when you got convicted off of the first drink, why don't you say, man, I don't care if I paid $5.95 for this bottle. That ain't worth my life. Smash it on the ground, come back and confess your sin to Brother Glenn, and then, first of all, confess it to God, and then confess it to Brother Glenn and say, you know what? Praise God. Hey, I may have taken the first drink, but I didn't drink the whole bottle. I'm back on my way. People say, well, you know what? If you think it, you might as well say it. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. That's a lie. I thought a lot of stuff y'all are happy I didn't say. I'm happy I didn't say it. Come on, whoever made that up is crazy. Right? So you can't go by your emotions. You can't do it. It's going to whip you around. Here's what I've learned, y'all. I've learned that successful people do all of the time what unsuccessful people do some of the time. Now, if you didn't get anything but that, that's worth the price of your time right there. What do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by it. If you want to have a toned body, you can't go some of the time to the gym. And if you want to keep a toned body, you can't go some of the time. You got to keep going all the time. Well, I pray sometime. I come to church sometime. I give sometime, but Pastor, I'm wondering why I'm struggling. I'm just struggling. Well, sometimes you come when you feel like it, and sometimes you don't. And sometimes you give when you feel like it, and sometimes you don't. Successful people do all of the time what unsuccessful people do some of the time. It's called consistency and not being whipped by your mood. I don't feel like working out. It don't matter. To the successful person, he gets up and he goes and he works out. I don't feel like worshiping. To the successful person, they worship anyway. I don't feel like coming to church. You come to church anyway, especially if you have kids, because you're trying to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and you don't want them going off of their feelings. I don't always feel like a Christian. I don't always feel saved. I don't always feel a tingle or a goosebump. But if I don't want to abort my ministry and the call of God on my life, I can't go by how I feel. Can I keep preaching? See, one of Satan's favorite tools is to use negative emotions. I'm going to say that again. One of Satan's favorite tools in your life is to use negative emotions. Somebody didn't shake your hand and all of a sudden the whole world is mad at you. They may not even seen you. They may have whiffed you like President Trump whiffed somebody. I don't know. But anyway, that's another story, and I can't get into that. God forgive me for even saying it. But maybe they didn't see you. All right? And you're going to get all bent out of shape, but maybe they really did not even see you. But that's how our feelings work. Huh. Well, I wonder what's up there in their crawl. Well, I don't really like them anyway. They think they're so holy. I see them at church and they just... And they didn't even see you. But that's how the enemy works. The rest of you ought to say amen because you know it's true. Because he loves to use negative emotions against you. It's one of his favorite tools. And he'll whip you around with resentment and jealousy. He'll whip you around with bitterness and worry and anxiety. He'll use shame to beat you up. You just got to tell the devil, there is therefore now no condemnation. That's under the blood. I've had my conscience purged with the blood of Christ. I'm not going to live in yesterday, Because if I keep living in yesterday, I can't reach tomorrow. I can't grab a hold of my future hanging on to this. Devil, you're a liar. Hey, I'm going to get in if the Lord allows me. I'm going to get into next week. You don't want to miss next week. I'm going to talk about how to challenge your emotions. Okay? So I hope you show back up next week because I got a lot more to say. But I know this, Satan's favorite tool to whip you is your feelings and your emotions and your moods. And if we don't learn, brothers and sisters, how to manage our emotions, the devil will get the best of us and he'll manipulate us around our mood and our feelings and he'll wreak havoc in our life emotionally. Here's what 1 Peter 5 and 8 says. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. How can he devour you? Through your emotions and through your feelings and through your moods. And if we don't have self-control, the devil will whip you up and eat your lunch. Can I keep preaching? So why do we need to manage our emotions? Number three, here it is, because we want to please God. Say, I want to please God. Say it again. Say it in the balcony. Boy, that was weak. Listen, God can't rule my life if my emotions are ruling my life. Jesus can't be Lord of my life if my emotions are Lord of my life. If I make all of my decisions based off of how I feel, then I've made my feelings a god. To be honest with you, there are times on Sunday mornings I just don't feel like showing up. You're the pastor. So what? I'm just like you. There are times I don't feel like it. But I'm not there. In other words, I don't make an A on this feeling, emotional report card all of the time. But I do understand successful people do all the time what unsuccessful people do some of the time. Did that make sense? Okay. Here's what the Bible says in Romans 8 and 6 through 8. To be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. What is that saying? If you just break it down into everyday language, we can't please God if our emotions dominate our decisions and we base it all on how I feel rather than the facts of God's word. And here's my last one, and we'll be done. Because we want to succeed in life. If you want to succeed in life, you and I have to learn how to manage our emotions. This is, and I'll close with this here. This is the number one predictor of success. Is how do I manage my feelings and my emotions? Study after study shows that emotional quotients, which we'll label as EQ, okay? EQ, your emotional quotient. And you have your IQ, which is your intelligent quotient. Study after study has shown that a person that has a good EQ can be more successful than a person that has a high IQ. Because emotionally, they have learned how to handle their feelings and their emotions. Let me ask you this question. I want a show of hands. How many of you have ever seen a smart person ruin their life? All of us. Smart. I'm not talking about this person is struggling to even get on the IQ chart. I'm talking about they're up there. Smart. Should know better. And you look at their life and you say, man, their life is such a waste. And yet they're so stinking smart. Not saying all the time, but many times is their EQ. They haven't ever learned how to handle their emotion, their feelings. And you can be very smart. You can be very smart. I've seen some very smart people make some very foolish decisions. Some very stupid, if you please, decisions. Anybody with me? Here's what Proverbs 5 and 23 says. People get lost. And this is the NLT. People get lost. He's talking about life. The writer here is saying that people get lost in life and they die because of their foolishness and their lack of self-control. How many has known people again that has ruined their reputation over something stupid they did at a one-night stand in a party? And now it's gotten even worse because there's always a phone and somebody's filming you. And then I've seen people, and I'm not making this up, I've seen people lose job opportunities for some stupid thing they did. And they could have had the job, but when they started looking through their Facebook, do y'all realize Facebook now is involved in hiring? They look through that and they's like, we can't risk that. And they miss out on a great opportunity because they didn't have self-control and something foolish that they did because they were obeying their feelings instead of logic. And the word of the Lord says people get lost. They get lost. They lose out. They lose their way. Because you know what? Well, I just think this is the right thing. I think she's the right one. She don't go to church. She's left 10 guys before you. Can I keep going? And you think she's the one? You need somebody in your life that can look at you and say, I love you. I really do. I love you. But you're not thinking right here. You want a lady who's godly. You want a lady who loves God. You want a lady who is putting God first. And I'm not just picking on you ladies. This goes for you men as well. Pastor, are you living by this? Yes, I have at least 3 to 4 men in my life that when I make a major decision, I'm asking them about it. Well, what do you think about this? I don't feel like that's bondage. It's not bondage. It's called submission. It's called being smart is what it is. You need someone in your life that you can tell, hey, here's what I'm thinking. What do you think about that? And you need to be able to tell them, or they need to be able to tell you, hey, I think that's a great idea. Or no, you know what? You might want to think about that. Because you can get so far off a base obeying your feelings. Would you stand with me? I hope you're back here next week if the Lord allows. I'm going to start talking about how to deal with what we laid the foundation for this morning. How do I deal with it, Pastor? I hope to be able to add value to your life next week through the word of the Lord. What I want to do right now, though, is I just want to pray over you. Would you bow your heads? Father, I want to thank you that you are an emotional God. I thank you that you gave us the ability to feel, to laugh, to have joy, to love, to be generous, to be faithful. God, I thank you that we're not robots, but that, Lord, we can show care and love and concern. We can experience the highs and the lows of life because, Lord, you gave us these emotions. But at the same time, we want to avoid, God, emotionalism and say that all that matters is how I feel, because that's not true. And God, then we don't want to be so stoic that all that matters is my will and my intellect. We want to be at a healthy place with that, Lord. God, I want to thank you for the book of Psalms, because the Psalms shows us that every emotion known to man is in one of those Psalms. And that, God, we can come to you in our anger. We can come to you, God, in our resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness. And we can come to you, God, in times of adoration. And we can come to you in times of weakness and fear. Lord, I'm talking to a precious group of people here this morning that I know that in my life, many times my feelings have dominated me. And Lord, I want to do better. I don't want to miss out on God opportunities because I'm more in touch with how I feel than the facts of my faith. And Lord, I pray that this word now would go and that it would be like a seed planted in each and every heart, and that it would bring forth fruit in due season. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.